This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And speaking of the financial markets, we've been following this throughout the last few weeks. The Dow and the early trading today has lost 2,011 points as of right now, 37 minutes into trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 21,541. 21,541. So the gains under President Trump have almost all gone away. He touted during his State of the Union address a 70% gain. At that time, it was 45%. Now, in his 3 years and 2 months in office, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has grown 8%, and it is headed in the wrong direction, and it's because of the coronavirus. And we are following this like nobody else right here on WRKF, and we'd like to hear from you to show your support for this programming. You can bet we'll be here no matter what happens. You'll be hearing what is going on in our world, and it's an uncertain odyssey that we're on right now. 855-893-9753 is your number to show your support for this great entity. In good times and bad, over the last 40 years, WRKF has been here, and there have been no times quite like this. This is a pandemic. 112 countries, by the way, have reported deaths. More than 120,000 people have been infected worldwide. More than 4,300 have died. In the U.S., at least 31 deaths. The numbers from Italy show more than 12,000 cases, jumping more than 2,300 just from 2 days ago. Italy has reported more than 800 deaths, second only to China. Confirmed cases climbed Wednesday to more than 2,000 in France and in Spain, each up about 500 from Tuesday. And the NBA has suspended its season, meaning no more New Orleans Pelicans games. College basketball games, those remaining that are still scheduled, will be played before no crowds. And we'll see where this goes. But I think just about everybody believes that it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's how these pandemics work. The good thing is that about 3% of those who have contracted the disease, coronavirus, COVID-19, die. At least that's the way it is right now. And that would mean that 97% of the people who contract it survive. But 3% of a large number could mean hundreds of millions of deaths if it hits enough people across the world. So this is new territory. The biggest pandemic since 1918. The man who wrote the definitive book about that and is the authority on the pandemic of 1918, the so-called Spanish flu, is John Barry, the author of Rising Tide, who was with us a few weeks ago. And we'll be calling on him again soon. But nobody is an authority on this because this is new terrain. We do not know how this will play out. But the country and the world have survived worse, and we'll see what goes on. But there have been cancellations. Chicago canceling its St. Patrick's Day parade. Boston and Philadelphia did the same. District of Columbia health officials recommended that all non-essential mass gatherings, including conferences and conventions, be delayed or canceled for the rest of the month. And in Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear called on churches across the state to cancel worship services this weekend. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mark on I-10. Mark, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me talk. I guess I don't want to be political, okay? We all need to work towards this. I was concerned when we had Mardi Gras, and I hadn't heard anything, not on NPR, on this station, or on the news, if anything should be done. Those are close quarters, and so many people coming not only from across the U.S., from across the world, come to Mardi Gras, and somebody was telling me, and it dawned on me when we had the outbreaks in Jefferson. He said, "You watch, the first cases are going to be towards that way, and it's going to spread." And I don't really want to blame the. I like the governor and everything, but I wish he had done more. And it's just something that, and I was talking to somebody else who's not necessarily a Trump supporter, he's a Hillary Clinton supporter, and he told me, he said, you know, you can't really blame Trump. It hit everybody. This surprised everybody.
All right. Well, the president may very well have been one of the reasons why we didn't get alarmed during Mardi Gras. And remember, the Dow was still going up then. And the president at that time was saying it was a hoax. And even today, Mark, headline in the New York Times, to doctors it's a crisis, to Hannity it's a hoax. Sean Hannity is still going on the air as of last night saying that this is much ado about nothing. Sean Hannity, who has 4 million viewers every night, and the average age of a Fox News viewer is more than 65 years old, so he is speaking to a group that statistically is more in peril than others. And you say it shouldn't be political. Well, it shouldn't. But a Reuters poll finds that roughly 4 in 10 Democrats believe the coronavirus is an imminent threat. This was as of last week. Only 2 in 10 Republicans felt the same way. So people quite often have their views based on what they see and hear. And we were being told as of last night by Sean Hannity that this is being overplayed. Hannity, who has a daily radio show that has millions of listeners as well as his program on Fox News, has had skeptical commentary, basically saying that, you know, get over it, life goes on, let's see what happens, but don't stop your world over this. And Rush Limbaugh, who is battling, according to reports, advanced lung cancer, offered clinical advice of his own, defending his comparison of the coronavirus to the common cold and suggesting the timing of the coverage of the outbreak raised a gigantic series of question marks and red flags. So it's political. But can you imagine if Hillary Clinton had won the election in 2016, as she almost did, and she did win the overall vote by 2.85 million votes, and President Trump were the Republican nominee for president, which he might very well have been, and he were running against her right now, what would he be saying about how she's handling the crisis? Are you still there, Mark, on I-10?
Yeah, I'm here. I agree with you about Fox. I try to tell my family members who are strong Fox supporters, you know. I try to tell them don't listen to Fox. You gotta watch everything. You know, and it's just one of those things where you it's like speaking to a brick wall. But I don't like the way the coverage is on the other channels either. I wish there was a news outlet we could all turn to that wasn't political, to be honest. Well, you know, and I've been preaching that for I don't know how long.
We're glad you're listening to WRKF, and we strive to be just that. But these are passionate times, as you can imagine, and when things like this happen, fingers are pointed. And I've said on this program over the last few days, you can't blame coronavirus on Donald Trump. He didn't start it, but he is the person in control. He is the leader of the free world, and he is making decisions that affect all of us. And he had a big address last night in which travel from Europe has been restricted. It has not been eliminated, but it has been restricted. And some are saying this is a good thing, and others are saying it's too little, too late. It's not going to stop what already is in our midst. 112 countries have this, and it's going to be a case in which it spreads. And we've had the first celebrity reporting. Tom Hanks, who filmed a movie here in Baton Rouge not so long ago that opens in a few months, is in Australia, and he is battling coronavirus, as is his wife, Rita Wilson, the actress, and let's hope they recover. But they're both in their 60s, and the New York Times puts it this way: in the United States, little, if anything, about the testing has been efficient or convenient. In Australia, it's free and widely available. Tom Hanks had a cold, or so he thought, a slight fever, body aches, chills, the usual. In the U.S., those symptoms may not be enough to get tested for the new coronavirus, but he and his wife, Rita Wilson, who was also sick, weren't at home. They were in Australia. Their testing is free, widely available, thanks to early and coordinated planning for a pandemic. And yesterday, Hanks said he and his wife had the coronavirus testing positive in Australia. He writes, medical officials have protocols that must be followed. He posted this on Twitter. We, Hanks, will be tested, observed, and isolated for as long as public health and safety requires. And over the next few days and weeks, we quite likely will have more closings, and the cases are now listed at 13 in Louisiana. So we're going to continue this discussion, and it is the issue in the world right now for good reason, and we'd like to hear from you. 877-217-5757, and the programming you hear on WRKF is more than just headlines about COVID-19 virus. It's providing context, and we're doing the best we can, and I think as well as any broadcast entity. If you value this programming, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Please, you're listening to Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number is 877-217-5757. We'd like for you to show your support for WRKF by going to WRKF.org or calling 855-893-9753. Fewer than 25 hours remain in this drive, and as you can imagine, people are concerned and perhaps preoccupied, but we need your support. I've said it a few times, but 80% or more of the funds for this station come from listeners, either through membership or underwriting. So you are the public in public radio, 855-893-9753. And to call this program, 877-217-5757. Mark Ballard will be coming shortly, who reports from the Capitol on Thursdays, and we're glad to get his take on what is occurring in our world. Oliver on 100 Oaks. Oliver, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. As you said, I live in 100 Oaks, and, you know, the St. Patrick's Day parade is a big thing. We have a big party for it every year, but I'm wondering if it's time for city officials to maybe put the kibosh on it for this year. Things are looking pretty serious.
So yeah, I am surprised. Hang on, Oliver. I am surprised it hasn't been canceled, to tell you the truth. But as of now, as far as I know, it's still planned, as is Jazz Fest. Can you imagine people coming from all over the world? I can't see how that goes on in New Orleans. But this is going to be a day by day thing, and of course, if it doesn't stop, then we're looking at LSU football and the Saints not having a season either. But let's hope by August or September things are better. But in the next few weeks, and that's what we're talking about here, it doesn't look like it's going to get better. If anything, it's going to get worse. And the last thing you want is people who are infected being in close proximity to others. And that's why the NBA canceled its season. One player test positive and boom, the season is over. So, Oliver, you probably live in that area. I know I do, too. And actually, one of the sales points when you're selling your home is that it's on the parade route. But at this time of the year, you probably don't want a lot of people out and about in close proximity to your home.
Yeah, I don't know. We were thinking about having our party despite the cancellation if that happens, but we're sort of second guessing it now since this is such a critical period as far as spreading the illness.
Well, good luck to you, and as I said, things are going to get worse before they get better, but they will get better. It's just a matter of
time. They will.
And so hang in there, and thanks for calling the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Richard on Glen Oaks.
Hey, good morning, good morning. I just want to say there's a myth out there that Afro-Americans can't catch the coronavirus. That's not true, so I hope y'all talk about that, first of all. And I also want to say that the president, he just wasn't prepared. When you get a leadership like we have, this is going to happen. We, the United States of America, we should have been prepared the first time we heard of this. So we just be strong, America, and God bless.
All right. Thank you, Richard. And African Americans certainly can contract this disease as well as many others will. And as we know, there are many people below the poverty level, whites and blacks, but proportionately more African Americans. And for people not getting immediate treatment, This could be a case in which they don't know they have it and end up spreading it somewhere else. So if you think you're a prospect for this, if you're not feeling well, please get to your doctor as fast as possible. Mark Ballard is with us. And, Mark, yesterday I heard from your boss, Peter Kovacs, who called me to ask about a story on tiger droppings that the Advocate had shut down and told all its employees to go home. And, of course, that's not true. But that's the kind of nonsense you're hearing right now from places like tiger droppings.
I think that it's a good underlying of that you can't trust everything you read on the Internet.
Well, we have people who, unfortunately, take delight in spreading misinformation, and tiger droppings is a classic case of that, misinformation about any number of things, but this is serious stuff. This is not commenting on somebody's personal life or their personal appearance. This is life and death, so don't fool around if you're one of these people with keyboard courage. This is not a time to play games. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, indeed. And I think what happens a lot of times is that, you know, the rumors start around and then they start throwing them up on the these blogs and they get a life of their own. But that is absolutely the Advocate is not shutting down.
Okay. As you are a prime example, hard at work, and journalists will be the last people to go home, journalists and doctors and nurses, because some of us believe this is a higher calling. You don't tuck tail and run when times are tough, Mark Ballard. You know that.
Well, it's the job, and that's what's required. I mean, nobody here has suggested in any way that they want to leave right now, particularly during this kind of a major news story.
Now, I did get a report today that the Gridiron Show has been shut down. From Mike Haston, he says no Gridiron Show. So
postponed until the summertime is what they're looking at to do it. But yes.
Okay, well, that's a shame, but I understand it. That's a potential hazard, so we understand. Mike in New Iberia. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard. Good morning to you.
Yes. Max DePree says the first role of a leader is to define reality. My grandfather, his two brothers, and his two sisters all spent all of their adult lives locked up in Carville, Louisiana. They were there from 1919 till 1977. One of them was in there during all that time, at least. And in 77, they discovered, they said, we made a mistake. It's not contagious. You can leave. So don't overplay this corona thing, but don't underplay it either. But balance reality and get some of the hysteria out of the reporting of it.
All right. I don't think in the United States we're going to have a real stomach to quarantine people, other than voluntary quarantining. But, Mark, there were people, as Mike in New Iberia says, who had Hansen's disease, who were quarantined for much of their lives, unfairly and unjustly. And and this is a case in which we do have to use common sense.
It is, and I think that we're seeing that with people voluntarily what is it called? Self-quarantine, but basically staying home for a couple of weeks to make sure. And we've seen a lot of that even in the Baton Rouge area.
Well, 79% of those who are giving President Trump high job approval ratings say they are very or somewhat confident in his ability to prevent the outbreak from becoming much worse, compared with only 39% of those who disapprove of him. This is according to a CNN poll. So this has a political element to it, and the person in charge, whether it's President Trump nationally and Governor Edwards in the state, they're on the hot seat.
Well, as I guess they should be. I mean, that's one of the reasons we elect these folks, is for them to be able to step up in times of need and to kind of, you know, direct what we should be doing, you know, tamp down the fear factors of it, and to say, well, this is the way we're going to go. And did you watch the president's speech last night?
I did not watch it as it was happening, but I have certainly seen many clips of it since. What was your impression, Mark?
Well, I wasn't overwhelmed with confidence, I got to say. So.
Well, this is something that will rattle leaders, as we know, and the perception is often such that leaders come and go based on their performance or lack thereof in tough times. And we saw Kathleen Blanco, who I think unfairly was characterized as having lost control, basically losing her gig as governor because of the perception that she was not up to the job when Hurricane Katrina came calling.
But we're
going to go to Doug in Highland and hear more from you. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief, with us for another segment. 877-217-5757 is your number. We'll return with more Talk Louisiana after this timeout on your favorite public radio station in North America. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. This is Spring Member Fest. We're 24 hours and 27 minutes away from shutting it down, so this is the time to contribute. And Gwen Pelagi, our membership manager, says 90% of the WRKF budget, 90% comes from members through underwriting and membership. And you please join our membership rolls, more than 4,000 strong, and you'll be a member of the family. Please call us 855-893-9753. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from The Advocate, is with us, and we're discussing coronavirus. And Mark was noting that the president's speech last night was not met with great glee by many. And CNN, in a straight news story, puts it this way: President Trump set out to steady a rattled nation and a diving economy in a solemn Oval Office address, but instead sowed more confusion and doubts that he's up to handling the fast worsening coronavirus crisis. The president spoke to the nation at a fearful moment when the rhythms of everyday American life are starting to shut down, with schools closing, the NBA suspended, hospitals on high alert, movie icon Tom Hanks saying he and his wife have the disease. The virus will not have a chance against us. No nation is more prepared or more resilient than the United States, the president said, before painting a rosy picture of an economy that is already taking a beating from the virus fallout. And before we go back to the phone lines, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has recovered just a bit. But when I say just a bit, it's down 1,700 points right now for the day. 1 hour into trading, 21,842 is where the Dow stands. A week ago, or actually 3 weeks ago, it was at 29,569. Doug on Highland, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard. Hi, Doug.
Hi, good morning. I kind of share Mr. Ballard's response to that speech. My concern was amplified tremendously after watching it. And it's clear that the federal government has been way behind on this. Its capacity was diminished purposefully. So, you know, the president disbanded this Office of Pandemics that President Obama had put in the White House, disbanded it, fired the people, shut it down when he came into office, and other things have happened since then. So panic doesn't help, but this is a very serious virus, and it's spreading rapidly, and it's been spreading in the U.S. for over a month. And if we look to Italy, we see kind of a worst-case scenario for what can happen even in an advanced country with a good medical system. They're just overwhelmed. It's spreading that quickly there. So we do need to take it very seriously, and everyone on the personal level needs to do it, because the top-down approach isn't there this time.
All right. Mark, your thoughts?
No, I can't disagree with a lot of what he was saying. Is that I don't feel like there's a firm plan in place. I mean, there's I just don't feel like there's a firm plan in place. I think that what we're having in Louisiana is a fairly good reaction from our leadership. Their main concern is to avoid overwhelming what is an already stressed healthcare system. And so they're doing what they can to prevent the virus, but we're not anywhere near what some of the other states are going through right now, what some of the other countries are going through right now. And you're looking at, you know, at Britain and Germany and in Italy, and they're taking strong measures to kind of stabilize their economy, as well as to avoid the expansion of the virus.
In Germany, the leader of the that country, Chancellor Angela Merkel, says 60% to 70% of the population is likely to be infected. That's her prediction. And Elizabeth Halloran at the University of Washington, the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, says 30 to 60% of the world's population will get infected. 877-217-5757, Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, good morning.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys are blaming Trump. I mean, when 2009 we had the swine flu, like 1,000 people died before Obama, like 6 months
later. All right,
later,
who blamed President Trump for coronavirus?
I don't think we're blaming him.
We didn't blame President Trump.
Well, yeah, he's done a lot more. I mean, he declared an emergency like a month before we've even had our first death here.
Well, we had a thousand deaths before he declared an emergency. Yesterday, as in yesterday, there were still Capitol tours going on in Washington, D.C. Why didn't the president stop that?
I don't think we should just give up our liberties and give up our freedom of assembly simply because there's I still plan to go to St. Pat's Parade this weekend if it's not called off. So I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making it out to be. That's just my personal opinion. I do think this is hyped up.
And hyped up for political reasons?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think it's something you just disregard. If you got symptoms, you need to do something, but I mean, what, we got like 6 cases or 13 cases now
in
Louisiana?
It's up to 14. One more.
14 cases, and there's a lot of people in Louisiana.
Well, we're going to have more than 14. I think
it's not like the swine flu. We had a lot more people infected with that before anything was done. We're on top of this, I think, compared to what we were back in 2009 when we had the other strain of coronavirus or whatever that was, swine flu. I guess I'm not a medical expert, but, yeah, I do think it's being overhyped. That's just me.
All right. And Patrick speaks for a lot of people who are not yet embracing this as a serious threat to the world as we know it, Mark. And Patrick's he's called before. He's a learned man, but his opinion is not his alone. And I don't know what can be done in a case like this. Somebody's going to believe what they want to believe, that we've been bombarded with information that this is serious business. And at this point, though, how much can be done? That's the question. How much can be done, even with all these events being canceled, travel being restricted? We still have to live, and unless we quarantine everybody, which we're not going to do, this pandemic is going to get much, much worse.
Well, and yes, I mean, and I think what they're trying to do is to avoid the widespread the spread of the virus. I mean, and I don't like it, but I mean say March Madness by playing it in front of no audience. You know, playing it before empty arenas. I mean, they're trying to avoid the spread, and I mean, I think that's what they can do now. The other issue is, as you've been mentioning, is that the stock market fell so precipitously this morning that they had to throw in the automatic stop to kind of calm things down. And I think that that's something where the government can step in and as they did in Britain, and, you know, come up with, this is money that we're going to be putting aside to help these people who are going to be impacted from the economic impact of this disease.
Well, I want to thank Tegan Hansen for her contribution, and I know many people are following this. And if you have time, we'd like to hear from you. This is the main part of the cycle as far as WRKF receiving funds from listeners who are responsible for bringing us the programming that we cherish, 855-893-9753. And Mark Ballard gives his time every Thursday on most occasions to provide insights, and we never know what we're going to talk about. The thing I love about Mark is that he never asks me what the subject matter is. He's ready to give it a whirl no matter what we discuss. And who would have known 2 months ago that we would be discussing this? LSU played in
2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, but think about it. LSU played in the NCAA championship game on January 13th in the Superdome. I don't think this was a subject matter then at all. And in 2 months, fewer than 60 days, look where we are, which shows us how vulnerable all of us can be. Mike in Glen Oaks. Mike, good morning. You're on with Mark.
Okay, good morning, Jim. I wanted to ask about the stimulus package where you have the payroll tax and then the hospitality industry having exemption. Could you talk about versus the stimulus package for help the other than the hospitality and the payroll tax, kind of help explain what, how does that work, please? Thank you.
All right. Well, those are discussion points right now, and the president probably will not get the waiver on the payroll tax, but the U.S. House is planning to vote for a stimulus package led by Democrat Nancy Pelosi. The question is whether Mitch McConnell will even take it up in the Senate before they go home to vacation. So, Mark Ballard, I don't know how much it can be done in the short term to affect matters, but the president did say that he would do everything he within his power to protect American businesses from this pandemic.
Well, he did, and but again, that money is kind of it's just being talked about right now. It's not gotten anywhere close as far as votes go, and as far as it coming down. There is money coming to Louisiana and all of the states, but it's mostly aimed at testing and trying to expand testing. We only get about $7 million out of that group.
Paul on Segan. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard.
Yeah, Jim, I think it's time to say the emperor has no clothes. And by that, I mean Trump has no idea what he's doing. And his people have no idea what they're doing. Mnuchin and Kudlow and Jared Kushner and Mike Pence are not equipped to handle a situation such as this.
All right. Well, that may very well be the case, but other administrations don't generally have epidemiologists at the top of the food chain when it comes to running the country. That just doesn't happen.
And to be fair, I mean, this is unique. I mean, we mentioned Governor Blanco, and I think the biggest problem that she had was that she walked into a situation that was totally unique and did the best that she can, and I think that the president is in that same situation.
Well, Mark, we'll let you get back to work. I know it's going to be a busy day for you, and we'll hopefully talk again next week, and perhaps we'll have better news. Let's hope so. Thank you,
my
friend. Take care.
Thank you.
877-217-5757. We'll return after this quick timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. As we're switching gears for just a moment with one of the most celebrated sports writers in America, John Feinstein. His book is Backroads, The Backroads of March, and it's about March Madness. And as we know, there has been a big wrinkle with the NCAA tournament now going on, at least as far as we know it will go on, but with nobody in the stands to root or root against a team. What do you think, John Feinstein, about where we are at this point?
Who knows where we are, Jim? Good morning. Because it changes almost hourly. I was at the Atlantic 10 basketball tournament yesterday in Brooklyn, and when I walked in at 11 o'clock in the morning, all the conference tournaments were going to be played with fans. The NCAA still hadn't made any announcement about what it was going to do. And the NBA was planning to go ahead and play, except in Golden State in San Francisco, where they were going to keep fans away. By the time I got home last night at 10 o'clock, all the conferences had said they were going to play with no fans. The NCAA tournament was saying it was going to play with no fans, and the NBA had suspended play completely because one player, Rudy Gobert, had tested positive for the virus. So it's changing minute to minute. The stock market had to shut down this morning after President Trump's very confusing speech last night. That's putting it kindly. So my answer is I just don't know what to think other than we've never seen anything like this before, and I sure as heck hope we'll never see anything like this again once it's cleared up, which probably will take months at this point.
if not longer.
Right.
Let's hope it's not longer. But the March Madness, the 64 now, of course, there are more teams, but the bracket, of course, has become part of American life. And if that changes, and it already has in a very substantial way, then our world changes. And it rocks us to know we're so vulnerable to something beyond our control.
Yeah, I think, and it's not just about a basketball tournament or about any sporting events. And it's not just about our country. It's about the entire world. And that's what's so terrifying. Italy shut down, and who knows what's going to happen next in any country. And, you know, when I started writing The Backroads to March, my intent was to make people aware of smaller teams, or mid-major teams is a better term, who don't normally get into the spotlight. Those teams will be in a very those teams that make the tournament, the mid-majors, who I wrote about next week, will be in a very different kind of spotlight than they've ever been before, just as everybody else will be.
The Backroads to March captures the feeling that comes every March, and it goes behind the bright light, sharing stories that capture our hearts, create true fans, and often some of the biggest stories happen for those who do not win the championship. And you talk about Harvard coach Tommy Amaker, who did very well, has done very well at Harvard, the great university in Massachusetts. And tell us about the story of him and his club coming the closest to making the NCAA tournament since 1946.
Well, they've actually made it four times since Tommy became the coach. And you're right, though, they had not been there since 1946, before the Ivy League was even formed. And Tommy transformed the program, was able to bring kids to the program, and specifically a lot of them are African Americans. And the basketball team became very much a bonding force on that campus, which is majority white, but has quite a few minority students, Asian Americans, African Americans. And now Levitis Pavilion, which was supposed to host the Ivy League tournament this weekend, and the Ivy League tournament sadly was canceled by the Ivy League presidents, has become a place of bonding for the Harvard student body. And one of the kids I wrote about extensively in the book is a kid named Seth Towns, who's from Columbus, Ohio, and was recruited by all the big-time schools, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, all the Big Ten schools out there in the Midwest. And Tommy came in with a very different pitch, mostly made to Seth's mother as much as to Seth. And Tommy's a very buttoned-down guy, hardly ever uses profanity, much unlike most basketball coaches. But he looked at Seth and his mom during his home visit and said, all due respect, because Seth's a very good student, but Seth, if you don't come to Harvard, you're out of your blanking mind. And he thought he was taking quite a risk using that kind of language in front of Seth's mother, but she loved it. She said, good, that's the way you should phrase it. And Seth Towns called a couple weeks later and said, Coach, I'm not out of my blanking mind. I'm coming to Harvard. He was the Ivy League player of the year as a sophomore. He's that good a player. He could play in the NBA, but he's unique in my reporting experience, Jim, which goes back 40 years. In that he said to me, I'd love to play in the NBA, but to me the NBA is a means to an end because I believe as an African-American with a Harvard degree, I can do things in the world that might matter. And most basketball players who you talk to, no matter where they go to school, will tell you that their ultimate goal is to play in the NBA. For Seth Towns, it's a stepping stone. And one other thing I should add about Harvard, because it's kind of funny, they open their season every year with MIT, which is ranked either first or second, along with Caltech academically, every single year. MIT's right down the road in Cambridge from Harvard. And when the Harvard players are introduced, the MIT students like to chant safety school, which is kind of ironic to be going to Harvard and being accused of being going to a safety school. But when it's MIT, they can get away with it.
Well, a listener notes that Will Wade, the LSU coach, was an assistant
to Tommy Amaker. Yes, that's
for
correct.
2 years, and they had a top 25 recruiting class. And Will Wade is 37, on the rise, but there's been some noise about him based on these tapes that have never been heard but have been reported.
Right.
And you cover the good and the bad of college basketball, and some believe it's a corrupt system out there. Is it corrupt?
I don't think the first player was paid off in college basketball, Jim, until about 15 minutes after James Naismith hung the first peach basket in 1890. There's not a lot of purity left in big-time sports at any level, college football, college basketball. Heck, you know, we hear horror stories about parents in peewee sports nowadays. But that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the Backroads of March, because I knew that the places I would go, the players I would talk to, weren't going to be one-and-dones in almost every case. And I mean every case. They weren't going to play in the NBA. They weren't being paid off. They were going to graduate because they knew they needed a college degree to move on in life, since they weren't going to be NBA millionaires. And that made the game, the games, and the people I met a lot more fun. I give you a great example. Have you ever heard of Longwood University or Farmville, Virginia?
I have not.
You are in the vast majority. Farmville is about 60 miles west of Richmond and 2 miles east of the middle of nowhere. Longwood has had 8 different names in its history. It was renamed Longwood University in about 2002, and now they play Division I basketball. Their coach is a guy named Griff Aldrich, who played Division III basketball, but then went to law school. When he graduated from Virginia Law School, he wanted to coach. Basketball was his passion. And the problem was he had $100,000 in law school loans to pay back. So he went to work at a law firm in Houston, ended up making a lot of money. But 20 years later, he still had the itch for basketball. So when his college roommate, Ryan Odom, whose name you might remember because he coaches UMBC, the team that upset Virginia 2 years ago to become the first 16th seed to win an NCAA tournament game, got the job at UMBC. He called him and he said, I'd like to coach. And Ryan said, how much are you making? About $800,000 a year. He said, well, you want to come coach for me? I can give you a job for $32,000 a year. He took it, moved his family, wife, 3 kids, Houston to Baltimore. And 2 years later, after the Virginia upset, was offered the Longwood job. So I went down to spend a day with him and write about his unique background. And they were playing High Point. Now, you may recognize the name Tubby Smith because he coached Kentucky to a national championship. He's now the coach at High Point. And Griff made the point that this was a great coaching matchup. Tubby Smith with 606 wins in a national championship, coaching against him with 12 wins, period. During that game, my wife, who was an English literature major at Vassar and who is, to put it mildly, not a jock, texted me and said, I forget where you are. What time are you coming home tonight? So I texted back and said, I'm in Farmville, Virginia. I'll be home about midnight. And the text came right back saying, you're having an affair. There's no such place as Farmville, Virginia. So the chapter on that day is titled, Yes, Christine, There Is a Farmville. And that in many ways was typical of the year I had. I was in a lot of places that nobody ever heard of, but I had a great time and found a lot of great stories.
Well, the book is The Backroads to March from John Feinstein, who's written a number of number one New York Times bestsellers, and he knows college basketball rather well. Another listener notes you wrote Season on the Brink, 1987. That was a year in which Bob Knight ran into Dale Brown, and a one-point win for Indiana propelled the Hoosiers to New Orleans, where they won the national title. And you and Coach Knight have since split the sheets, haven't you?
Well, the book actually came out in 1986, and was not about the championship season. I like to tell people I was 12 when I wrote it. But Bob was very upset when the book came out because for some reason I knew he'd find something not to like about the book, because that's Bob. He wasn't going to call me and say, John, you did a great job. He doesn't do that. But I was stunned when he said that what bothered him about the book was seeing his profanity in it. And writing about Bob Knight without profanity would be like writing about Earth without mentioning the sun.
Well, John, we've got to roll. But for anybody who loves college basketball, and this is an interesting time, The Backroads to March is the place to go. His latest book from this exceptional writer of all kinds, but he specializes in the sporting world. And once again, we'd like to hear from you, 855-893-9753, to show your support for WRKF. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Stay tuned.